And praise the Lord. Good to see you this morning. If you were not here Thursday, you missed a good time. We had a great time Thursday. The offering we received on Thursday, as I told you, it was going to Romania. Just for your information, if you were here, it was $260. And so that $260 added to what we already have puts us over $4,500 for Romania, which is wonderful. And we'll be getting the Bibles organized to go to Romania pretty soon, and we'll take care of the camp again this year, which is wonderful. What a happy looking bunch you are today. Praise the Lord. Now, this morning, I've had about five messages ready that I could bring to you today, but it was only yesterday afternoon, actually, that I sort of began to really hear what I felt God wanted me to say to you this morning. And for the sake of titles, we've just called it The Good Life. But really what I want to say is, have you discovered the good life that God has planned for you to live? See, most Christians have not discovered that. I was reading this little story and it made me smile, so I'll read it to you this morning. It's about a young man who joined the army. He was learning to be a paratrooper. And he was getting ready for his first jump in the instruction of being a paratrooper, and the sergeant in charge took him aside and said, "Now, I'm going to give you four instructions regarding this jumping." He said, "Number one, you don't jump until you're told to jump. Number two, you count to 10 and then you pull the ripcord. Number three instruction is, in the unlikely event that your parachute doesn't open, pull the emergency ripcord. And then number four, when you get down, the truck will be there to take you back to the base again." So the young soldier memorized them. He got these 1, 2, 3, 4. This is what I have to do. So he got it in his mind. He knew exactly what he was doing. And so he got in the plane with all the other paratroopers, and they climbed at 10,000 feet. And one by one, they're jumping out. When it came his turn and the sergeant said, "Jump," he jumped out. He counted to 10, pulled the ripcord, nothing happened. Then he thought, number three, I've got to pull the emergency ripcord. So he pulled the emergency ripcord, nothing happened. Then he thought, "I guess when I get down there, the truck isn't going to be there either." Maybe that's how you feel sometimes. You're sort of reaching the end of the line, you know, and you know, things just don't seem to be working out the way they ought to be. It's got to be something better. There's so many failures and disappointments in life, really. If you're living the life here on earth from that earthly perspective, there's disappointment, there's frustration, there's people who let you down. All of these things happen. But you can come to a place where you can be a person who always lands right on their feet. And you can come to a place where you're going to be on top all the time, and you're not going to be disappointed. In fact, the only place to do that is to be in Christ. If you're not in Christ, then you're lost already. You know, when we were first in ministry here in this country, and the children were small, we used to travel everywhere in the car. Over the years, we've had a number of cars. I said on Thursday night, we've had a number of homes, but we've had a number of different cars over the years, and we couldn't afford to fly the family, say, to Adelaide or wherever we were going to, so we'd drive. We'd have to drive, and there's hours and hours and hours in the car. And, you know, Elizabeth never liked all that. You know, how long is it going to take? How have we got the money to get there? And all the questions, questions, questions. But to me, I really enjoyed all those times driving. I suppose being a man, that's the thing, but I enjoyed all those times. But it was one that I thought about that stuck out in my memory when I was thinking about this yesterday. And we were preaching in Mentone, which is just in the south end of the city. And we had I think it was a Holden Premier station wagon, if I remember, at that time. And we were coming back again, and we got a puncture. And so we're trying to get out, and the jack won't work. You know, it's like, 1, 2, 3. The jack won't work. And Elizabeth and myself and three kids standing on the side of the road, and cars are going past. I went and knocked someone's door. No one would open the door. You know, this is sort of 11:30 at night on a Saturday night. No help. Suddenly, there's a bicycle coming up the road, wobbling, a drunk man on a bicycle. And he stops to help. Elizabeth remembers it. And so with his help, we managed to get the wheel changed, put on the spare wheel, and he climbed back on his bicycle again and wobbled off up Cheltenham Road into the distance, and we were able to get home. Just a bit like that paratrooper, you know. There's no help. I suppose there's no one going to help us. But, you know, when I thought about this, it made me think about our life, really, generally, our life as Christians. Our life as Christians is very much like the things that we've experienced. I mean, I could write a book about some of the things that have happened to us as we've traveled around. But life really is like a road trip, if you think about it. We've been everywhere in the car. I mean, Elizabeth, she's got fed up with all these trips that we've done. I said to her recently, you know, just in the last couple of months, oh, I think we'll go to Adelaide for a little trip. And she says, can we fly? I said, well, I'd really like to drive. We want to go and visit some friends we have in Adelaide. We're not going to minister. We're just going to visit. And the end of all of that conversation is we're not going to go because she wants to fly and I want to drive. And so that's it. We're just not going to go. So we've given up the idea of going to Adelaide. But anyway, these road trips that we're on, you know, the life is a road trip, and road trips will take you from where you are to where you need to be if you follow the instructions. And that's important. It's the choices and the decisions that we make along the way that are going to determine how quickly we get to the place we're supposed to go to, and even if we get there at all. Almost every time we've gone somewhere in the car, Elizabeth says, have we got enough money? That's the first question. Have we got enough money? Where are we going to stop? Where are we going to sleep? Have you booked a motel? To me, it's just a drive, and sometimes these little rabbit trails, I find them interesting. They just scare her. We're not going up that road. Look, let me tell you. When we first came to this country in 1971, we were here for a little while, and my mother came out after my dad passed away. And then my aunt, whom I've told you about on other occasions, my aunt Bella, who's my mother's sister, came from Canada, and the two ladies lived together for a little while until Bella passed away. But I took them out for a drive. Now, we live in Bundoora then, and we went for a drive to Greensboro. Long drive. Went past Greensboro and went towards Diamond Creek. Panic stations. Because we just got off the main track a little bit. You think that's funny? Let me tell you another story. She said she's safe in Ireland. Elizabeth's mother and father came to I came here to get away from family, and then they all came. 30 of them arrived. We couldn't get away. But Elizabeth's mom and dad, they came here, and her father, I've said this before, he was a wonderful man. I loved him. He was a great little man, and his name was Adam, but everybody called him Eddie. Don't ask me why, I don't know, but I guess Addie was the way it was said in Ireland. But then his sister, Violet was his sister, wasn't he? Violet, his sister also came to visit in Australia, and they decided they would drive to Adelaide to visit other friends in Adelaide. But they didn't go Horsham and the main drag. They decided we'll go round the beach way. Now, wonderful drive, but Violet, just fresh from Ireland, she wouldn't let them put the windows down in the car in case the Aborigines attacked them. I don't know, can you imagine 40 degree heat, no air conditioning in the car? Anyway. Okay. That's enough of the funnies. God has your roadmap all planned out. He planned your roadmap before you were born. Jeremiah 29:11 tells us God has a plan. We haven't put it on the list, but he has a plan to get you to your destination, a plan for good and not for evil, to get you there, and he has it already planned out. And I don't know if you've ever spent any time at all. I mean, we print these little newsletters. I spend time and get these together. They don't just happen, you know. It takes time. You have to think about what I'm going to put in there. And yet, people don't read them. We find them sitting on the seats afterward. And I think, well, why bother? The average church, you get a little newsletter and you leave it on the seat. But see, we put something in there to help you grow and mature in the things of God. If you've read any of my newsletters or if you've read any of our blogs that we put out on a Wednesday or a Sunday, you will have come to realize that my purpose really is to help you discover why you were born and help you achieve what God called you to do. That's what I'm all about. And our statement of faith, or our mission statement, if you like, is God has called us to take you from where you are in your experience to where God says you are in His Word. But a lot of people never read the newsletter or they never read the blog, so they really never ever know what we're all about or why we do certain things and the way that we do it. But if you'll just spend some time and give some attention to what God is talking to you about, you'll soon find out that you can get away from choosing the wrong road. You can get into choosing the right road, because the wrong road will lead you away from God's plan and purpose. It's like saying we want to drive to Adelaide, but we'll just get on the Hume Highway. If you're not a driver, you don't know what that means. If you get on the Hume Highway, you're heading to Sydney, and Adelaide's the other way. So a lot of, you know, people in ministry do that too. I could, without even much struggle, I could think of a dozen people I know who've been in ministry, who've gotten on the wrong road, and they're no longer doing what God called them to do. They've missed His plan and His purpose. But I want to encourage you this morning, without any doubt in your mind at all, that you've been called, that you have a purpose in God, and you're coming to that place, if you'll just listen to what I have to say and listen to what the Lord has to say, there's nothing and nobody in the world that can steal from you what God has for you, except you. You're the only one who can, even the devil can't take it unless you give him permission. Now, I made a statement on Thursday night, and I'm going to make it to you again today. Whatever you say out of your mouth, you're either giving the devil dominion in your life or you're giving God dominion in your life. Your words are going to determine where you're going and what you're going to do and what you're going to have. Death and life are in the power of your tongue. So we need to understand that. So today, can I encourage you, make a choice. Begin to believe that God has a good plan, a wonderful plan. He has the journey all planned out, but you need to take the steps to get back on the track, to get back on the road, to do the things that He's calling you to do. So can I challenge you this morning, if you're off track, get back on track. Can I challenge you this morning to take that step? And you may be thinking, well, Norman, that's nice, but how do I do it? Okay, well, I'm going to tell you. First thing you need to do is, you have to renew your mind. You have to have a change of mind about what you're doing, where you're going. And in practical terms, really all that means is turning your thoughts toward the things of God. Our first reference is Romans 12:2, which you will know. but in the Message Bible. Listen, I've really gotten to like Eugene Peterson's writings. I think he's a Presbyterian minister, but he has written some very succinct things in the Message. This is what it says, Romans 12:2 Message, be on the screen. Don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God. You'll be changed from the inside out. Readily recognize what He wants from you and quickly respond to it. Unlike the culture around you, always dragging you down to its level of immaturity, God brings out the best out of you and develops well-formed maturity in you. So we need to keep our thoughts in line with the good things of God. Keep our thoughts in line with the things that the Word talks about. We need to spend time in the Word. We need to think on the things that are good and true and pure. As Philippians 4, we could put that up, Philippians 4, 8 and 9, again in the Message Bible. Listen to this. These are wonderful verses. Philippians 4, 8 and 9, Message. Summing it all up, friends, I'd say you'd do best by filling your minds and meditating on things that are true, noble, reputable, authentic, compelling, and gracious. The best, not the worst. The beautiful, not the ugly. Things to praise, not things to curse. Put into practice what you learned from me, Paul says. What you heard and saw and realized. Do that, and God, who makes everything work together, will work you into His most excellent harmonies. I mean, you could print that out and put it on your refrigerator and do it every day. See, when you begin to understand these verses, when you begin to put them into practice, and you understand that your thoughts and your words are controlling your life, you can begin to shape your destiny and fall in line with what God has planned for you. Things can change. Things can come into line because you begin to follow God's plan, not yours. The next verse we have there is Proverbs 16, verse 7, 8, and 9. Again, in the Message Bible, Proverbs 16, 7, 8, and 9 in the Message. And this is what it says. When God approves of your life, even your enemies will end up shaking your hand. It says, far better to be right and poor than to be wrong and rich. We plan the way we want to live, but only God makes us able to live it. We plan the way we want to live, but only God makes us able to live it. So it's important that we choose the right way of thinking. We want to enhance our purposes and the plan that God has for our life. You need to take action. You need to spend time. You need to take that step and get back on track. Because you will become like what you habitually think about. Proverbs 23:7. In the New King James, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. So what are you thinking about today? What's your main thrust on your thoughts right now? You're sitting here listening to me this morning. What are you thinking about? You may not be thinking about what I'm saying. You may be thinking, as Naomi said earlier, you'd be thinking, oh, I've got to get milk to take home, or our thoughts are all over the place. We have to bring them back. We have to control them and keep them on track with what God's will and plan is for our lives. We've got to think this way. Now, I can't tell you individually what God's plan is for your life. We can generalize. There's lots of scriptures. I mean, I can go down a number of them. But the Bible promises many places. And if you take the verses of the Bible that say you're entitled to joy and prosperity and all of those things, the overall thing is that God wants to bless you. Now, listen to what I'm going to tell you, because this might encourage you. The word bless means to empower to prosper. The word bless means to empower to prosper, and to prosper means to excel in every area of life. See, we think prosperity, oh, how much money have I got in the bank? How much have I got in my purse? No. It means to excel and do well in every area of life. Now, we all like that idea, I guess, that we can do well and prosper in every area of our lives. But knowing that you need to do something and knowing how to do it are two different things. So that's what I want to try and help you with this morning. You know it, but now you need to know how to do it. You may this morning still not be sure what your purpose in life is. You may not be sure what it is that God wants you to do. And you may have been off track for some time. Well, let's start to swing around and get you back on track so you're heading toward your destiny. And it's easy to follow a plan if you've got one, even if you don't fully understand it, because that's where you need faith and trust in God's Word. You get your faith operating. Now, I'll give you two things to think about this morning. Number one, allow this thought I'm going to give you to operate and occupy your thoughts for a while this morning. God has your best interest at the forefront of His mind today. I don't know if you know this, but the Bible says in Isaiah 49 that God has your name tattooed on His hand. God has your name, Samuel, tattooed on the palm of His hand. That means every time He looks at His hand, He says, there's Samuel, or there's Christine, or whatever your name is. God thinks about you constantly. And you say, how could God do that? Get out of natural thinking. How does your computer work? Chris, who's down the back there, has got a little USB stick, which is half an inch, I guess, about that size. That one, you have it on your key ring, because I've seen him use it. And it holds information. How much information does it hold, Chris? I don't know. 64 gigabytes on this little half-inch bit of metal. Now you know how God can, because God invented computers and USB sticks. I mean, He's so far above 64 gigabytes. Think about it. He can do it. God loves you more than you want to be loved. You say, Norman, this morning, I'm just crying out for love. You know, I've been hurt. I've been offended. All these things have happened to me. You know, like the paratrooper, you know. 1, 2, 3, and I guess the truck's not going to be there when I get there. You may be like that this morning. You know, think, I've had a hard life. But God loves you more than you can understand with your natural thinking. Not only does He love you, but He is love, and He's in you. Greater is He that's in you than he that's in the world. See, you're not an afterthought. You're not some sort of an accident that just happened. God created you. You are His workmanship. Ephesians 2:10 and New Living. We are God's masterpiece. Do you realize, if you go down to the National Gallery, where's Marie? She goes to the gallery. Okay. When you go down to the gallery, what do you see? Masterpieces. God sees you hanging in His gallery. I'm looking at His masterpieces. When you look in the mirror, Robert, you've got to start to see God's masterpiece. I am God's masterpiece. I am more than a conqueror. I can do all things through Christ. You've got to start and see yourself the way God sees you. You're His masterpiece. You are more than a conqueror. You're greater than you think you are. See, oh, I could never do that. Don't just skim through this book, you know, when you're doing your Bible study. I read, you know, a couple of verses. No. Spend some time in it. Ask the Holy Spirit to begin to reveal to you who you are. You're not just something that happened. You were planned by God from before the foundation of the world. God used your father and mother as the agency to get you here. But they just fell in with God's plan. You may think, oh, well, you know, it's just happened, my father and mother and so on. But no, it's all part of God's plan. So God has a plan, He has a purpose, because He loves you and He wants you to fulfill what He has called you to do. Because you need to know, nobody else can do what you've been called to do. They may do something similar, but they'll not ever do. There are people that you will meet that other people will never meet. God has a plan for you that's going to bring you across people that He had planned to be saved, that He had planned to be healed, that He had planned, but you're the one He's going to use to get it to them. So you have to be led by the Spirit of God. That brings me to number two. Determined in your heart to stand strong in God and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit. I was saying to Elizabeth this morning, just when we were finishing breakfast, I said, I'm so glad that we only ever play worship CDs in the car. Now, we give you CDs and you buy our teaching CDs, and that's wonderful. But we only ever play worship CDs. I don't even play teaching CDs in the car. Because when I'm playing worship CDs in the car, and we've got, I don't know, four or five that just play continually. We just keep putting the next one in and swapping them around. Terry McCalmon is our favorite. And if you don't know who Terry McCalmon is, Google and you'll find he's wonderful at worship, plays the piano. You'll hear Ulu play some of his stuff here too. And I said, I'm just so thrilled, you know, like if we're driving down the peninsula as we do every other week, we go down the peninsula and we've got an hour and a half drive. Because of the worship music, conscious of the fact that the Holy Spirit is ministering to us as we're driving, and it makes me aware and alert to the fact that the person who's in the car beside me, in this side, you know, he's in the fast lane, and we're doing 100 Ks along the freeway, that he doesn't perhaps know anything about God, and he could quite easily cause an accident. So I'm alert, very much alert to the fact that God will speak to me and say, slow down, go left, whatever. Because of the worship. Naomi's trying to encourage you in worship this morning again. Take that seriously. Don't take it personally. Take it seriously. You need to get into a place where you can worship God. I mean, just spend time and worship God. Determine in your heart. This is number two. He said, give you two things. Number two, determine in your heart to stand strong in Him and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit. Look at Joshua chapter 1, verse 6 and 7 in the New Living. Here it is. He says, be strong and courageous, for you are the one who will lead those people to possess the land I swore to their ancestors I would give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the instructions Moses gave you. Do not deviate from them, turning either to the right or to the left. Then you will be successful in everything you do. Follow the Word. Do what the Word says. Let the Holy Spirit lead you. Put up the next one, Cassandra, please. John 14, 26 and 27. New Living again. But when the Father sends the Advocate as my representative, Jesus said, that is the Holy Spirit, He will teach you everything and remind you of everything I've told you. I'm leaving you with this gift, peace of mind and heart. And this peace I give you as a gift the world cannot give, so don't be troubled or afraid. You need to activate the Holy Spirit's presence in your life. How do I do that? Spend time praying in the Spirit. I mean, every day you should spend time praying in the Spirit. Get into God's Word. Allow the Word to begin to transform your thinking, to change your thinking. Ask God, ask the Holy Spirit to help you see you as God sees you. The masterpiece. not just somebody who's struggling, oh, well, you know, it's a ho-hum life. We might just make. No, no. You're more than a conqueror. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. You can come to that place where you can live the life that God created you to live. See, God is the master coordinator of all things. Say that for you again. Some of you need to hear that. He is the master coordinator of all things that need to be done in your life and for your unique personal profile. See, the plan that God has for Elizabeth personally is different to the plan he has for me. The plan that he has for Peter is different to what he has for me. You have a personal profile with God, and you need to ask the Holy Spirit to show you what that is so you can begin to bring out the goodness of God even in bad situations. Sometimes situations are bad, and I mean bad. And I mean, we've gone through some things, but I guess some of you have gone through some things that are worse perhaps than anything that Elizabeth and I've ever gone through. And I'm not making light of what your situation is. I'm just saying, if you will work with God, he can turn things around to good. Now listen to me. God doesn't always turn them around the way they were, because they were bad, some of them. But he can turn them around to good. And you can go on and do the things you're supposed to do and leave all the junk behind. Sometimes we need to leave some stuff. Let it go and say, okay, well, I tried that. It didn't work. I made a mistake. Forgive me, Father, and get on with what he's called you to do. Do the things he's calling you to do. See, your life has been designed, Romans 14 tells us, to live with righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. That's all found in your relationship with God by the Holy Ghost. And God has this plan. Now, I've made a little note here, and this is what I've said. A good life means that we are to live under his full protection. He has provided all things for us, including health, wealth, and wholeness in every area of our life. The abundance of all things have been provided so we can be a blessing to those around about us. If you were here Thursday night, the message I taught was this: God wants you well and healed and whole and strong. And I explained where that title came from. The CDs are out there from Thursday night if you want to get hold of one. The message was a blessing to me. I've already listened to it. You know, when I preach something, I always listen to it. Like this afternoon, I will be listening to this message because I listen to it and edit it. And the places where I cough or sneeze, or you cough or sneeze, or somebody drops their false teeth, I can edit those. I can edit those things out. So I listen to it all again. And it's not just maybe a 30-minute message or a 35-minute message. It takes me 2 to 3 hours to listen to it and edit all the little coughs and sneezes and bits out of it. So I hear it all again, and I realize, thank you, Lord. That was good. I enjoyed that. Because I need to hear the things that I'm saying. See, you and I were, can I say it this way, recreated to live abundant lives. John 10 and 10 in the message. Listen to this. John 10, 10. Jesus said, I came so they can have real and eternal life, more and better life than they ever dreamed of. More and better life than they ever dreamed of. The Amplified Bible says, I came so that they may have and enjoy life, have it in abundance to the full till it overflows. Now listen to the Passion. This is the Naomi got me onto this translation. The Passion says, but I have come to give you everything in abundance, more than you expect, life in its fullness, until you overflow. I like that. Let me read it again. I have come to give you everything in abundance, more than you expect, life in its fullness until you overflow. See, when the goodness and the blessings of God begin to manifest in your life, and your neighbors and the people on the job and you know, all the people around, they begin to say, oh, look, you've got a promotion. You're moving in prosperity. Your health is good. Looking at all those things, you seem to have great peace of mind. That's a real coincidence that you're able to do all that. That's where you've got to take a stand and say, no, it's not a coincidence. Put up that last scripture for me. Psalm 118, verse 23. You've got to stand firm and say, this is the Lord's doing, and it's marvelous in our eyes. This is the Lord's doing. In other words, you give Him the glory for all the blessing, for the abundant life, for all the goodness that He's made available to you, because we do that every day. We say, thank you, Lord. Every time we sit down to a meal, we say, thank you, Lord. Thank you for your blessing. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for all the things. We give God the goodness. Now, I'm just going to mention this as I close. There's a lady that we meet. She works in one of the places in Westfield. And this lady comes from a Muslim family. And she's not a practicing Muslim, but I've talked to her on several occasions about the Lord Jesus. And we've shared things with her. And I've given her some things that have been sent to me on the internet about Muslims that have been converted and things like that. And she's very, very interested. She came to us last week and she says, oh, Norm, I just want to tell you, my neighbor goes to a certain church, and she mentioned the church, and I'm going to go with her this Sunday. And I'm saying, praise the Lord. And she asked me about the church. It's not a church that I would necessarily want to go to, but I said, yeah, you go. I said, it'll be mainly young people. It'll be great music. You'll love it. Go, 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 go. Muslim. It's a Christian church. She's going to be challenged by the, have you received Jesus? Now think about it. So pray for her. Hallelujah. You don't need to know her, because if I tell you who it was, it'd be 30 people go around to Westfield and say, oh, we're here. Hallelujah. All right. Are you ready for the good life? Are you going to enjoy this good life? Are you going to get into this good life? Well, it's available. I've come that you might have life more than you expect. Do you realize that? See, some of you are living at a level you're putting up with. Well, this is just where we are. I just put up with this. I'm in this marriage. I'm in this relationship. Whatever it is, I just put up with this. No, you don't just put up with it. You say, Father, I thank you to change this situation. See, sometimes, whole other subject. Sometimes people get into relationships they ought not get into. And it's harder to get out of a relationship once you get in it. One last story. There's a lady who was in the church. Russell will know because he was there. When we were in Seaford, and this lady was involved in the church, a member of the church. She wasn't involved in ministry or anything like that, but she was having trouble with her husband. And she came and told me. She said, oh, Norm, my husband does things that are upsetting to me. And I said, well, what are we talking about? She said, well, and we'd been in her house. I knew where she lived. And she was a very, can I say it this way, house proud? In other words, her home was spotless. Her husband, who was from another background, not Australian, he would urinate on the floor. And this upset her. And I said, well, that's not on in this country. You don't do that. That's why there's a little room. It's called the WC or the bathroom. You go in there and use the facility. She said, yeah, I know, but he does it just to upset me. I said, well, you don't have to put up with that. And she came and saw me on several occasions. And I said to her, here's my advice. Leave him. Because if it's going to continually go on and on and on and on, I said, it's going to destroy your lifestyle. It's going to destroy your thinking. It's going to eat you up. Leave him. she ended up leaving him. He got, in the settlement, he got the main house, but they had a holiday house. She got the holiday house and the car and so on. And she's happier than she's ever been. She made a mistake. But the great thing is God forgives mistakes. To say, Father, I made a mistake. He said, okay, don't do it again. And the next time you come around and you've done it again, you say, okay, here we are again. We're back around track again. Thank you, Lord. I receive your forgiveness. Father, this morning, we thank you for your word because your word is the truth. And you said when we know the truth sets us free. So, Father, because we know the truth, we're free. We're free this morning. Whatever the situation is that we may be facing individually, we declare and decree this morning that we are free because of the truth of your word. We are free people. We are walking in the plan that you have for us. We're now moving into getting back on track and being in the goodness of God every day. And it is wonderful. It's all you're doing. And we say it's marvelous in our sight. In Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Thank you, Russell. Come and finish for us.